In the story of the sale of Yosef, Reuven defends Yosef, saying, why kill him? And they end up throwing Yosef in the pit, and apparently Reuven went away, because he comes back to the pit, and the pasuk says, Vayasha Reuven al abor v'nein Yosef abor, and Yosef's not in the pit. So he was not part of the mechira of Yosef. And his response is, Vayomer ayelet einenu v'aniyana aniva. Where is he? He's gone. What am I to do? So where did he return to the pit from? So the Midrash Rabbah, very interestingly, tells us that Reuven returned. What is returned? Return is like Lashon Tshuva. So he'd come back in sackcloth and fasting. So, and the Midrash actually continues, says, Reuven, wow, I'm so Hashem says to Reuven, I'm so impressed by your Tshuva. You're the first person to introduce Tshuva. So your descendants will also be the first person to introduce Tshuva. And who is that? It refers to Hosea. It said, Tshuva Yisrael, Ad Hashem Lakecha. So Rashi actually adds to this Medrash. Rashi on our Pasuk tells us, what is it? Where was Reuven? He said he was busy with sackcloth and fasting. So he uses the Lashon that he throws in what Reuven's chait was. He says that he, Chilel Yitzui Aviv, that he had done the deed of moving his father's bed. Now we know that the Pasuk says that Reuven's chait was actually that he had bed Bilha. Bilha was the Shivcha of Rachel. And the Gemara on Shabbos tells us that Reuven didn't actually do that. It's Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman of Rabbi Yonatan. So I never like to diminish anything Rabbi Yonatan said. So it says that whoever says Reuven sinned is mistaken. So he was merely defending his mother's honor. What was he doing? He was moving the bed. Yaakov had placed his bed to lie down with Bilha, as in he used to lie down with Rachel because that was the woman he loved. Now he lies down with Bilha because that was the shivcha of the woman he loved. So Reuven said, okay, it's one thing. My mother, Leah, isn't as loved as Rachel. So, you know, she's the tzara, so what are we going to do? So he's going to lie down with Rachel. But when Rachel's not here, my mother also has to take a back seat to Bilha? So no. So he took Yaakov's bed and he moved it to next to Leah's bed. Okay, so let's say we're going to accept this midrash or explanation of Reuven's chait as the Gemara said. So that was Rashi saying that was Reuven's sin. He moved his father's bed. So why did Rashi feel right now that he had to specify Reuven's sin? Meaning the Midrash doesn't mention Reuven's sin. It just mentions that Reuven was returning, you know, in and Tainis in order to do tshuva. And why are we being told of Reuven's tshuva? Okay, if Reuven's returning and doing tshuva, why in the middle of the Yosef story are we told about it? And in fact, Rashi says, what is Reuven saying, Ana Aniva? Where can I go to get out of my my father's grief? That my father's going to be so upset. Only Reuven was worried. The Pasuk's only telling us about Reuven. Ana Evrach Mishum Tzara Shalaba. That's Rashi's Lashon. So where am I going to go? Only Reuven's concerned? His brothers aren't concerned? So it's only with this explanation of Reuven having moved Rachel's, moving Yaakov's bed from next to Bilha to next to Leah that we can understand. Reuven was defending his mother's honor. What he was doing is a mitzvah d'oraita, kibbutzim. He's standing up for Leah. Yaakov isn't mad at Reuven for that. Yaakov, when he later criticizes Reuven in the brachos in Parshas Vayechi, he says, "Pachas kamayim al totar." What does that mean? You acted too hastily. Reuven, a man of your stature, should have been more deliberate in your actions. You should have been more restrained. Figure out a way to resolve this without just acting so hastily. Okay, so what does that have to do with Reuven's concern? Yaakov Avinu's family clearly had a Masorah. A Masorah that they would have 12 sons. Okay, we know this from the story of Dinah's birth. Leah already had 6 kids. Each of the 2 Shvachot had 2 kids each. That brings them up to 10. So when Leah gets pregnant with a 7th kid, after the episode of the Dudaim, or later, he has an instance where there's a seventh kid. So Leah thinks she's pregnant with a son, and she davens that it should be a girl. That way, when Rachel eventually has her two children, to get them up to 12, so she won't have fewer children than the Shvachot would have. That was very nice of Leah to do. So they clearly had this Masorah of 12 kids. I also remind you that we're told Nachor had 12 children, and Yishmael had 12 prince sons. So apparently this was a Masorah that there were going to be 12 kids. So what does Reuven bother? By the way, so then Reuven moving the bed from next to Bilhah next to Leah didn't actually change any of this, because all the children were born already, so it's clearly only a matter of defending his mother's honor. That this the Beis Halevi points out as well. So what was Reuven concerned? If Yosef died in the pit that was full of snakes and scorpions, Nachashim v'akravim yeshbo, Reuven realizes Am Yisrael is no longer going to have 12 Shvatim. And for whatever reason, the Masorah and mystical reasons, and somehow it helps, having 12, now there's only going to be 11. So all of a sudden, that prospect made Reuven scared, and he was worried about his sin. In other words, had I not moved my father's bed, maybe Yaakov, instead of having been with Leah that night, he would have been with Bilhah that night, and maybe there would have been another son born, a 13th son, so that if Yosef died, don't worry, we still have 12 kids. Not that kids are just so interchangeable and it's just a number, but somehow they had this Masorah, they needed 12, and now they had all that, all those plans are at risk, because they're down to 11, because something might have happened to Yosef. So therefore, Reuven is now trying to make up for his rash actions, his not acting in a deliberate manner for what he did, because of me, there wasn't a 13th kid, so now we're down the creek, because there's only 11 kids, because something might have happened to Yosef. That's why the Torah is specifically discussing Reuven fasting and Reuven wearing sackcloth, right in this context, in the middle of the Yosef story, and that's why he was more overwhelmed with the situation. Only Reuven's the one on Aniva. The other brothers aren't as worried. It was Reuven who's worried. He's more overwhelmed with the situation than his brothers, because it's about his chayit. He was the only one who moved the bed. So now we have to ask a question on the Midrash. The Midrash eventually told us that the reward for Reuven's tshuva was that Hoshea was going to be the one to introduce tshuva. What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't talk about tshuva? Did we read Sefer Dvarim? Half a Sefer Dvarim is all these psukim, you know, Loba Shamayim. It's all about tshuva. Everything there is about tshuva. What do you mean? Only, and then everybody until Hoshea, you know how far Hoshea is? All the other Nevi'im didn't talk about tshuva? Every Navi talked about tshuva. So what? So says the Beis Halevi, this is the explanation of the Midrash. Reuven didn't only do tshuva for his chait. He did tshuva for the effects of his chait. Even though he didn't intend it, and in fact he didn't even do it. He was worried about something that might have occurred and wouldn't be his fault in any way. Who actually sold Yosef? Okay, I guess there's some discussion in the Pshat and Rashbam, Rabban, whatever, that it never actually says in the Pasuk explicitly that as the story is told that Yosef sold them. Later he says something like, Asher Machartim, you did sell me, but in the story it doesn't actually say that they sold them. Okay, let's say they sold them, as he says to them later. Let's assume he sold them, but they were the ones who sold them, not him. He clearly was away. It's an explicit puzzle. Reuven was gone, and he comes back to the pit and says, oh no, what happened to him? He wouldn't have said, oh no, what happened to him, had he been part of the sale. So we know Reuven didn't sell. It was the brothers who sold him. But now he's realizing that his actions may have caused there now to be not enough children. In other words, had his actions not been done, there might have been 13 kids, and if something happened to Yosef, there would still be 12. So it's his tshuva that actually, in fact, his tshuva came before his chait, because there wasn't any issue until he found out that Yosef was gone. So that's the aspect of tshuva that Reuven introduced and Hoshea later reintroduced. Because Hoshea is telling the nation, Shuva Yisrael, Hashem, what does it mean? You did chatayim, but when you do a chait, it causes you to stumble further. You know, we've heard of the concept of mitzvah goreres mitzvah, navera goreres avera. So you do one chait, it leads to another chait. If you ask a person who would you ever swear falsely? No, I wouldn't swear falsely. Why would I do that? But he steals something. He was a thief, and then they catch him. So maybe if they put him on the stand, he would perjure himself. So he would never think himself capable of it. All sins have a pattern like that. The theft can lead to perjury. If you have an argument to somebody, you might tell Lashon Hara about him. You might take revenge. Lotikom, lotitor. You might even lead to murder. Sometimes there's an inevitable cycle. Sometimes it's not inevitable, but there seems to be a cycle of sin because you entered into the cycle of sin willingly. And therefore, you're held fully responsible for all of its consequence. That's what it means to be nichshol in your chet. So you gave in to one evil urge. You did one sin, and now you're doing more sins than you would never even imagine. Who knows what depths you'll sink to with your sin. So when Reuven not only had to make up for having moved the bed from next to Bilha to next to Leah, he's also doing tshuva for what it could have led to. It could have led to now there not being enough shvatim now that Yosef's gone. So the concept of tshuva that Reuven teaches us is not only doing tshuva for that which we did, but even that which we didn't do, but may have been caused as a result of our original actions. And that's the tshuva that Hosea reintroduced to Am Yisrael. That's the type of tshuva we learn from Reuven. So when the Pasuk tells us that Reuven returns to the pit, and Rashi adds in, when the Midrash adds in that he was returning having done tshuva, and Rashi says what he was doing tshuva for, the point was he was doing tshuva for something else, and he's now in a state of distress because he sees what happened as a result of his actions, and he's doing tshuva for that as well. Even though he's doing something that he himself did not do. And that's the lesson that we can all learn, that when it comes to tshuva, we have to do tshuva not only for what we did, for the chet that we did, but even for any actions that resulted from the snowball effect, from the cause and effect, for the cycle of sin that we got ourselves into, whatever the results of our chet, we're causing all the collateral damage, we have to do tshuva for as well, even when that collateral damage wasn't directly caused by us. But because of the situation we created, now there's a new situation in which there's damage because of our original chet, we have to do tshuva for that as well. That's the lesson of tshuva that Reuven did, and Reuven did such a good job that Hashem says, Shkayach, Hosea, who comes from Shevet Reuven, he's going to teach Am Yisrael about this one day as well. Shkayach.